JKT Mobile.
KO4HKX.
How's it going?
Feel a little scratchy here for a little bit.
Hey, still pretty far north, running a little late this morning. How things been going for you?
I hope everything's been going for you since been a while since I heard you on the radio.
Working at home a little bit more. We're having so much work done at the house that I've had to stay home a lot more than normal to oversee things. Then this morning they had a bridge closed on 18. I sat there for 20 minutes waiting for them to reopen it, so there was really no good way to get around it. So that set me back a little bit this morning, but otherwise everything's going okay.
I'm glad it's just something you got going on, not an issue.
Issues. Right now we're trying to get rid of a shed that's on our property. We're donating it to an animal rescue. We're just having trouble finding somebody to move it for us. Because we have a new shed coming in, and we got to get rid of this old one before they can bring the new one in. And having a tankless gas water heater put in at her house on Friday, maybe, and all kinds of construction stuff going on, looking at a patio and a pergola and stuff like that. So lots of issues to track, but luckily nothing really bad.
On it, so,
and then my hotspot. Hotspot with with mine too. I just pay the same rate for the data. I think Ting does have an unlimited plan, but it throttles you at something like 35 gigs or something like that.
Verizon hotspot I use on a tool truck. That way I don't have to turn my phone on and off the hotspot all the time. And it's just much easier and well worth it to me.
So I actually, in my camper, I have an RV, like a router that has two SIM card slots in it, so you can have two internet providers, and I have a Ting SIM card in one, and I have an AT&T SIM card in the other slot, which has a 100 gig plan that costs me like $50 a month, and I can activate it and deactivate it on the months I'm using it or not, so, you know, I don't have to pay it if I'm not using it. But if I'm going on a trip, I just, you know, do the prepay, $50, and I get 100 gigs of data.
Especially for something that situation. But I pay for the unlimited on my account here for the tool truck, and I usually end up, believe it or not way over what would be normal, but depending on the month, if I have to do a lot of online streaming of videos for customers showing them tools and stuff like that, I can get around 25, 30 gig, that's about it.
That's the amount of data, you know, like that. Yeah, it used to be, I think my work phone is still, you know, we have cell phones through the office, and they're on Verizon, and I think we're still on those plans that throttle at 22 gigabytes, you know, back when 22 gigs seemed to be the magic number for everybody.
It's only, it's an older 3G, 4G, and so all I've got is 4G now. And phone's 5G. Not overly impressed with it, let's put it that way.
It's a 5G, and I've never even really done a speed test on it to see, you know, what kind of speeds I get, because, you know, I have to pay for that data. So I think a 5G speed test is going to use about a gig of data. So it would cost me like $5 to check it, but, you know, it's you know, serves the purpose that I need it for. I've got a hotspot in the car that's unlimited data, and I think that cost me like $15 a month as a subscription through Chevrolet. So you get unlimited 4G hotspot data in the car for $15, and my phone is usually just on that.
Then you can do the Wi-Fi calling through there.
It's just kind of amazing, though, because, you know, you get nickeled and dimed. You know, I've got, you know, $15 for the car plan, you know, $10, $15, $30 for my phone plan. Then I've got the hotspot plan and the router plan and, of course, home internet and stuff. It's just, you know, it all piles up. And I think Courtney and I sat down and we figured out how much we were spending between cell phones, internet access, and streaming services. And it's a few hundred dollars a month for all that stuff once it's all said and done.
Definitely adds up. It's unbelievable how quick those $50 here, $20 there, and $30 here adds up to hundreds of dollars.
You know, I had one bill from Comcast that was home internet and TV and everything, and that was like $70 or $80. And now, just your home internet and streaming services and TV and all that will be $200 or $300. You know, then you got your cell phones on top of that. And, you know, Verizon wants something like, you know, $70 or $80 per phone. So if you've got three or four people in the household, you've got another $300. So you're talking, you know, $500 to $600 a month just for connectivity. You know, whereas just 10 years ago, you'd get all that for about, you know, less than half.
But it's amazing how dependent we've become on that stuff, though.
How dependent we think we've become on that. I don't think we are actually dependent on it.
That's a better way of putting what I was trying to say.
You know, if it were up to me, we'd turn off all the streaming services and half the internet stuff because, you know, nobody needs that stuff. But the kids would go into orbit if we turn any of that stuff off because, you know, they're on YouTube all the time and, you know, they claim they need internet for school, but I have yet to see them use the internet for anything to do with school. So, whatever, but, you know, I guess to keep the peace, we'll keep the streaming services going.
I know when my son was in school, they brought out the computers, which has not been that long ago, and he had computers all the way from middle school through the rest of high school and didn't have textbooks, and I couldn't see any point in having it. They never done anything over the computer. Their homework wasn't, you know, he might type on there on a word processing program, but that was it. And I mean, so why the big deal about having internet and all connectivity to everything?
Hey, I mean, I got rid of TV service long ago. I've never had streaming services of my own, and, you know, the kids, you know, they're in a charter school, but, you know, they still don't really need computers for school. They use computers in school, I think, but they don't send the kids home with a computer, and I don't, you know, they don't really have to get on the computer for anything with their homework. You know, the 8-year-old, he's in second grade, you know, all of his homework's on paper. And same with the older ones. So I don't know. I don't see what they need that stuff for. But you know, they want to play games on the internet. They want to watch TV and YouTube and all that stuff. So you know, we have it.
I'm with you. I don't understand. I think we, like you said earlier, think we got to have it and all this stuff. But trying to justify it and don't really need it. I know I don't have DirecTV or Dish or any of that stuff at the house. For the hour or maybe a day I sit down to watch TV, usually can't keep my eyes open long enough to get through a whole show anyway.
Yeah, by the time we get home from work, you know, and get the kids fed and, you know, struggle with them doing their chores and stuff, we're ready to crash anyway.
You been doing anything with your radio at the house at all, or have you kind of just put it to the side for now?
I've watched the radio at the house since probably field day. I had it set up in the backyard, and I was trying to get the 14-year-old interested, but haven't really done anything since then. Still don't have an antenna at the house, but now we're finally talking about moving in together, so we're kind of abandoning any projects at my house now. And focusing on hers, and you know, it's going to be another transition. So I'm just kind of put everything on the back burner for now.
We streamline things for you. Being in the same location definitely helps.
You have an internet bill and utility bills and all kinds of stuff. Just got to, you know, hopefully be able to sell my house when the time comes.
Never know with the markets and things changing now.
I bought it in September, so I'm probably looking to, you know, stand to lose a little bit on it unless I decide to hold on to it for a little while.
Rent it for a little while, maybe, if you wanted to deal with that.
I want to deal with that, especially because there's a swimming pool there, and that's a huge liability. You know, if you're a landlord with a swimming pool, you're going to be on the hook for any kind of liabilities that come out of that. You know, if somebody's kid drowns or whatever, they're going to come suing you. So I just don't want to deal with that for sure.
For that, I wouldn't want to either, and I just think it's so stupid that people rent from you and tear your house up, and then or something happens to them, and it's your fault. Like you've done anything with you caused it in any way.
Landlord for a long time when I moved from Philadelphia down to South Carolina. You know, I had bought my townhouse in Philly at the height of the 2005 boom, and I wasn't able to sell it until almost 8 years after I moved down to South Carolina. So during that time, I was a landlord, and it was just a constant stream of, you know, this is broken or that is broken, and then I hire somebody to go fix it and find that it was the tenant that broke it. But all the laws are stacked in the tenant's favor. You can never collect on that, you know, even if it's their negligence that broke something. So I vowed when I sold that house that I would never, ever be a landlord again, and I'm going to stick to that.
To that. Burn me once. Shame on you. Not happening twice.
Yeah, definitely not. So did I ask you last time I talked to you, did you make it out to the Charlotte Ham Fest?
I really couldn't find I just didn't want to ride out there by myself, basically what it boiled down to.
I really wanted to go, but I forget, it's probably something to do with the kids. You know, I don't even really remember why I didn't make it out there, but I think the older kids didn't want to go because he just wants to sit on the couch and play video games all weekend. And I think we just didn't want to deal with trying to drag the kids out of the house.
That was my reason. I just didn't want to ride out there by myself. My wife had other things that she was doing, and tried to find somebody else to ride along with or ride, you know, and just didn't work out. So it was just one of those times.
I understand that. It's a long drive from Asheville over to Charlotte, a couple hours at least. So, another good ham fest will come up here pretty soon. Let's see, what is this? This is March going into April. So there's probably still some good spring ham fest coming. Doesn't Blue Ridge do one in the spring?
4-H gigs. I don't think the Blue Ridge Society is going to do one this year. At least I haven't heard anything about it.
I'm sure there'll be one coming up. I think Lawrenceville is already come and gone. Charlotte's come and gone. Anderson has one. It's a bit of a haul, but, you know, I think they do one. That's kind of later in the summer, though. Not sure which other big ones are going to happen.
Well, Hamfest will be coming up here, and June or July, somewhere around in there?
Hamfest is always Labor Day weekend.
And then there was a ham fest in Vision Forge, last weekend or weekend before, within the last 2 weeks.
Fall too, but I wish the Shelby Ham Fest would be a different weekend. You know, they always schedule it for Labor Day, and that's a very big travel weekend, and, you know, I'm usually out of town, so I don't always get to go. I've gotten to go the last couple of years, but, you know, it's easier now that I live in town, but still. You know, when the kids are off school still and you want to go somewhere, you know, it kind of precludes going to the ham fest.
When they're small and they're at the house, you've got to spend some time with them because they won't be there forever.
The older one's 14, so he's only got a few more years at home, and I'm assuming that, you know, once he gets his driver's license, he'll never be home. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, ham radio is a hobby, and it's definitely not the highest priority in life. So, you know, it is what it is.
Roger that. I know mine's, he'll be, 24 this year? And I ended up having to make him go get his driver's license. So kids nowadays don't value that like we did. They really don't care about it.
We drive somewhere to socialize, you know, but now they have to socialize online. You know, they're constantly just, you know, social media is how they communicate with their friends, and that's all there is to it. So they don't really need to go anywhere, and they don't really want to go anywhere. You know, like I said, you know, the older one, he just wants to sit at home and play video games 24/7. Like, if you let him do it, that's exactly what he would do. You know, Saturday we wanted to go out to Spindale to go to Barley's, get some pizza, and he didn't want to go. But as soon as we mentioned that we were going to go to the little arcade museum in Forest City and play some old-style video games, he was all about going, you know. So, you know, getting him to do anything requires video games to be involved. So that's kind of the way kids are these days, I guess.
It's hard for me to understand that because I didn't grow up that way. If I wanted to see my friends, I had to pedal my bicycle down the street, you know, a good ways, or, you know, be driven somewhere or do something, you know. There's no keeping in contact, so I don't know. It's hard for me to understand that one.
It's a classic intergenerational problem. You know, our upbringing was different, and so it's hard for us to understand, you know, why the next generation values what they value. But, you know, I see zero value at all in video games, and, you know, it's just, what that's all they want to do. So it's a disconnect for me. But you know what? I just put up with it. You know, it's their life. They can do what they want. And if they want to waste their time playing video games, that's their business.
But the thing about that is they never grow out of that. Mine's the same way. At 24, I still want to play video games. I never really could care less about video games. And we grew up in the era when Atari first come out. And I really never had anything to do with it.
We just probably had a much more well-balanced life where, you know, it wasn't about just, you know, a cheap thrill, you know, quick fix or whatever. We did all kinds of different things, but also, you know, we weren't brought up to believe that the world was such a scary place. You know, we also went places and we had a whole lot more independence. I think today, you know, the kids are brought up from a very young age to believe that, you know, the world is a dangerous place and you should just stay at home and consume social media 24/7 to make all these people rich. You know, it's just, it's sort of a very shrewd manipulation of society, you know, by the big social media companies that, you know, have just kind of convinced everybody that the world is too dangerous to go out.
Well, you can't send kids out like we were by themselves to run the neighborhoods because you never know what other parents are going to do anymore instead of just correcting your kids and sending them home or bringing them to you and dealing with it. So you can't just trust that anymore. And it's sad because that was a big value to our society.
You know, it's, you know, for to a large extent, you know, we've kind of forgotten how to parent and how to parent together, right? So it's, you know, this whole notion of every man for himself, the world is too dangerous, it's kind of a new thing in the last 20, 30 years. And now instead of, you know, like, oh, well, I'm going to call your mom and tell them what I heard you say or, you know, tell them what you did wrong. And now it's just something completely different. You know, nobody wants to take any ownership of anything anymore.
Sorry about the pause there. I'm having to deal with a merge into traffic and a car in front of me that didn't know what yield meant.
You know, drivers these days. But, yeah, great example. You know, the movie A Christmas Story, which is kind of a classic for our generation. You know, I wanted to sit down with Courtney and the kids and watch it at Christmas, and they'd never seen it before. And so the scene where Ralphie's mom calls the other kid's mom to tell him what, you know, because, you know, Ralphie had said the, you know, the big F-bomb and stuff. And so when Ralphie said who he heard it from, it was his dad, but he blamed one of his friends. You know, Ralphie's mom called the friend's mom and said, hey, do you know what my kid heard from your kid? And, but they don't do that anymore. So it's like there's no feedback about when you do something wrong, and there's really no correction. You know, kids are just left to kind of do what they want and never hear any advice about how to be any different.
Let's move on to something more cheerful. Let's find something.
Yeah, I guess the last thing would be that our kids were just aghast that, you know, his mother would call the other kid's mother to tell him to tattle on him. Like, apparently, you know, tattling has become like an awful thing. But yeah, definitely something more cheerful. I've broken out of the worst traffic. There's that, I guess.
Roger that. At least 85 is not a parking lot this morning. That's a good thing.
It was a parking lot up in the construction zone because there was a semi-trailer broke down. And, you know, in the chute, there's nowhere to go. You know, you have the two lanes and no shoulders and no pull-off. So he was blocking the right lane, and they had all the service vehicles there to try to fix it. So nothing was really getting by. So 85 North was awful, and then, you know, I had my little bridge closure on 18 South, but 85 has been okay. I'm just coming up on 54 now.
Where was that truck broke down on 85 North? KN4 VWA. Good morning, guys.
I think it was somewhere around 92.
Good. I appreciate that. That tells me I'm going to go across Highway 11. Was it north of Highway 11?
I honestly couldn't tell you. It might have been a little north, but the backup is, you know, probably several miles long by now if it's still there. I might dive off at 150. I think 150 is south of 11, but, you know, exit 90, exit 92, I think it was okay by the time I got down to exit 90.
All right, well, I appreciate you letting me butt in and getting that little bit of info. I got to head up into Monroe, North Carolina this morning. Patrick, good morning. You guys carry on. I'll get out of your way. Thank you. 73's KN4 VWA, clear.
Good to talk to you.
Slow down is because I don't remember the exact location. But anyways, have a good day. Good luck on your trip. WTUJKT.
KO4HKX.
He may not even be there anymore. That was about 40 minutes ago that I drove past that.
Change in that time, but usually getting a wrecker out there to tow something like that takes a little while.
Pickup trucks there, and one of them was loaded with tires in the back. I think he might have just had a tire blown on the front, because it looks like they had a couple of service vehicles right in front of him working on the front of the rig. So I don't know if it was an engine or maybe blew a front tire or something. Who knows?
I'm going to get it fixed and get everybody back on the road. Nothing like starting your day off in a traffic jam.
Stand by for me for a second. I'm coming up on this spot at Woodruff Road where my radio blanks out.
KO4HKX on the side.
It is right around where that Harley dealer is at Woodruff Road. Something is so strong that I can't hear the repeater at all through that maybe half-mile stretch.
It's amazing how many spots around anymore things are interfering with it. Lights, red lights, all the LED lights, whatever it is, just blanketing places out.
Hey, that you could, you know, make a complaint to the FCC and they would go investigate it. But nowadays, you have to make the complaint to the FCC and provide the data to support your complaint, because they won't go and look for it because that costs money. So you have to spend the money to go validate the interferer before they'll send anybody out to look at it.
They're useless.
Case.
They're a government agency.
Hey, at least the FAA could get something done, but now the FAA is even useless anymore.
So much red tape and bureaucracy involved anymore, you can't get anything done. And everybody's so worried about, just like we were talking about earlier, being sued or this or that. And just, everybody's living in fear from this, doing anything.
Well, that, you know, government's been infiltrated and, you know, all the high leadership in government is these ex-corporate CEOs and stuff. And they treat government like any other for-profit company that they used to run. You know, it's all about revenue and spending. And they all want more revenue and less spending because they think it's the government. They have this weird notion that the government's job is to make a profit. So, you know, they cut back on spending and programs and try to increase revenue as much as they can throughout every department in the government. You know, my sister works for GSA, and this is like a big mission for them, is to try to, you know, increase appropriations from Congress and decrease spending.
Decreasing spending any time lately. I've been spending like wild and drunken sailors.
Like spending on programs that get votes, right? But if it's like spending for, you know, things that they need to do their jobs, like, you know, new laptops and stuff, they're always putting that stuff off. Or spending money on, you know, things that don't generate votes. You know, that's the thing that they're trying to cut back on all the time.
Yeah, roger that. I don't know how to fix it because I don't have enough to do with it, so I don't know what to say about it.
I'm just going to live my life as best I can.
It's a sad thing to have to say about this country.
Democracy on the planet has ultimately failed, and I think ours will be no exception.
I agree, but I don't know. The alternatives are no better.
No better. You know, you get the government that represents the people that are in it, and, you know, it's just, you know, society, you know, human beings are just naturally flawed people, you know, and they're always going to be those that want to take advantage of others, and those are the ones that are always end up in government. So, you know, what can you do?
Well, Eric, I have arrived at my location or my first stop, so I'm going to say 7-3. I hope the rest of your trip goes safe, man. Good to hear you again this morning, and look forward to talking to you maybe tomorrow. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3.
Sorry, Patrick. Good timing. I'm hitting my dead spot, too, so we'll catch you later. 73, have a great day. This is W2JKT.
HNR, K4HNR, N4ZLK, mobile. HNR, N4ZLK, mobile. LK clear.
KN4VWA, good morning, Shane.
Okay, cloudy. Hey, Steve. How are you?
I should not be awake for another 2 hours.
Retired people.
I haven't been able to sleep late in the last almost 2 weeks.
Swing.
A combination of this, a little bit of work, that. I was in Atlanta yesterday. And I'm headed into North Carolina today.
Last night?
No. You're on the tail end of your runs this morning. Are you on your way home?
Home now. I was going to ask you, how do you like your new 6-meter, 2-meter, 440 antenna?
So far, and I know. Now, let me qualify this. I had to move my 2-meter 440 Diamond X50A off the top of my tower. So I know I lost some simplex range that way. But now I've got this thing back up at the top of the tower, and it's an 8-foot fiberglass. And I simplexed with a buddy of mine all the way to Woodruff. That's like 30 miles. So, you got to kind of smile and be qualifying on my results so far. But so far, that thing is poking it, baby.
Used it on 6 meters yet?
Have, and I'm hitting the Paris Mountain 6-meter repeater completely solid, just solid as a rock.
I'm glad it's working out for you. I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do. I probably, if I do something, it'll probably be a multi-band like that, so that I don't have to put up another mound on the roof. I just put it in place of what I've got. But if I do that, I'll have to put a duplexer down at the radio to separate out the 6-meter from the 2-meter 440.
Taken. You got a 991A, don't you?
Taken. I've got that 857D.
You had bought a 991 for inside your house. You know what? I think that was Patrick. That's right. Patrick has a 991A in his house.
And an old 757 GX, but it doesn't have 6 meters on it. It's just 10 through 80, or 10 through 160.
Those are good radios. Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, I've got a FT-950 that I've been using. And it's 6 meter all the way up. And you know, it's an older radio, but the only real difference between it and my 991, well, I take that back. There's lots of other features, but it just doesn't have a waterfall. But it's got digital display and all that good stuff, and it really, really performs well.
57 for sideband, because I get really good audio reports on it, and I've been able to reach out to people on that one. That the 857, even though I can still hear them, it doesn't quite break through. But I use the 857 for Morse code. It's just a little more simpler with the adjustments in there. So one for voice and one for CW.
Yep.
Well, I tell you what, the bands were really open the other day. I think it was Sunday afternoon. And man, I got on there and it just shocked me. I mean, I hit Hawaii just like he was sitting in the seat next to me. And then I heard another station call in there, and it was a guy on the west coast of Australia. I mean, the band was wide open. Plus, it helps with that Mosley I got. I got this Mosley TA-33. Man, that puppy works good.
Hawaii on.
I hit Hawaii and Western Australia on 20. And that was in the mid-afternoon. No, I take that back. That was around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. And it, like I said, it really surprised me.
Hawaii on CW. It was on 10 meters. I couldn't remember. I looked at it yesterday. It was on 10 meters. And it was Thursday or Friday. Or maybe Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Sometime one of those days. The night before, I heard a guy in Seneca talking to on sideband, talking to a guy in Hawaii. I heard both sides of the conversation very well, and I was going to try to work the Hawaiian station, but he signed off at the end of that. He said he had to go. So the very next morning, though, I got another Hawaiian station on Morse code.
Well, this stuff I'm talking about, I got all of it on voice.
It's kind of exciting because I haven't heard Hawaii in a while. I have worked Australia on voice several years ago, and I've heard them lightly in the last few months, but haven't had a chance to work one yet.
Well, I'll tell you what, when the band is open, baby, it's crazy good. And there was some kind of there wasn't a CW contest, but there was some kind of contest this past weekend. So it was interesting. I mean, they were all barking in there. I mean, matter of fact, I remember I hit Guam too. I got Guam.
Yes, sir. Nice to make contacts. If you just want a quick contact, you know, hit and go. But there's always some like on the weekends.
Well, I'm sure you've heard those guys on 7200.
Unfortunately.
There's one segment of the band that is just now permanently dead to me until those guys go away. Man, it's just, there is another case of why I do not understand why the FCC doesn't do something about those clowns.
I think I've heard some call signs thrown in there. Now, they may be using fake call signs, but still. Yeah, it's a shame that people act that way.
Even in the best barrel of apples, you're going to have one or two that are just rotten to the core. Oh, well. It's just human nature.
But you would think that by the time somebody reaches adulthood, they could get over that kind of stuff, but apparently not.
Skanks, that is the key. They have not reached adulthood.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm on my way to my second stop now, and Shane, I think that's the reason why they can't grow up is they just never had to.
Yeah, there's a lot of people nowadays that don't have to grow up, and in some ways life's too easy. It's kind of nice, but there are consequences.
And they're all congregated around 7200, that way they stay off the rest of the bands. Yeah. Can you imagine those guys spread all over the spectrum?
V.915.
Where they did the South Carolina net.
That's not going on. I don't know what the deal is, but there's some craziness going on there, too.
You can do is just shake your head and move on to another frequency. That's what I do.
Run out of frequencies to move to.
Close to keyed down and try to talk over them.
Some of them are running 3,000 and 4,000 watts. You can't overrun that. I'm on there one night bragging that he was running 2,800 watts on his system, and nobody was going to talk him down.
The fire at all?
No, and he didn't give out a region either. You know, a lot of those guys will say, I'm the mouth of North Texas, or, you know, some area. He didn't even say that. So he knows that he's way over the line.
37,000 FCC employees. Chase us for our little infractions. Maybe missed a call sign by a second or two.
Have you noticed that kind of stuff going on in other sectors?
No. 3915. I come across it on 7200 every once in a while.
That guy that's making YouTube videos about it now. It's pretty funny. I've heard it before, but now he's out there putting them on YouTube.
There's a YouTube for anything that you can imagine at any time in history or any location that you can think of.
There's a lot of useless information.
Stuff on there as well.
Some good stuff from time to time, but I for the most part, I call it the garbage knowledge channel.
Everything else, you got to weed through so much garbage to get one little good thing out of it. Is just, is it worth it anymore?
You used to run north, didn't you? Well, I'm on Highway 11 going to Monroe, North Carolina. And the reason I'm on Highway 11 is I'm hoping I'm going to pop out north. According to the Google Maps, I will pop out north of a mess on the 85, where 85 is pretty much blocked off. And anyhow, how well do the radios work across the top of here?
Again, I'm sorry.
How do our 2-meter radios work across the top of Highway 11?
Don't know about that. I've never taken 11 all the way to 85. But I used to go up 85. I know where it comes out on 85. Around Gaffney, it kind of gets a little noisy, but then it picks back up again as you go up the hill. You know, about the 100, 102. Going into the state line, and you can hold it into North Carolina for a little bit.
Do you know anything about either you or Patrick? Do y'all know anything about you know how you take the Blacksburg exit right before you get into North Carolina and cut across Blacksburg into York and Rock Hill? Do you know anything about across there?
I do not either. I know Eric. W2JKT, the one you were talking to this morning, will get on about 80. 85 is where he loses the repeater, mile marker 85.
Well, I'm over here east of Boiling Springs now, over here in front of the Swafford Center on 11, and it's just holding solid as a rock, or at least I think it is.
I give up.
Morning, Phil. KO4HK.
Show me a new radio.
Okay. And how's that?
292, and you just blew out my front end on direct.
And 292. Oh, yeah! Okay. that's where you turn left to come across to come over to 26, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just about to approach 26. But you're sounding good over here. That's a good antenna.
My truck on my 857, and I'm on that ATOS 128.
Good. Well, I put a Ooga horn in my car last night, so all I got to do is brake lines, and I'm motoring around town.
my goodness. Well, have you put the fuel tank in it and the fuel pump and all that good stuff?
Yes, sir, and the sender last night, and the gauge goes up and down like a pro. I just have to blink my eyes sometimes. Can't believe it.
I've been telling you, that thing, I know, pride goeth before a fall, but isn't it nice to know that you jumped in there and accomplished all that on your own?
Traction YouTube videos, I couldn't even have approached the project without some help from there.
Filtered down and you drilled down to the good stuff. There's plenty of junk on there. Hey, Patrick, ask him what he's working on.
Before, but I have forgotten. Catalina. 51,000 actual. When you get done, KO4HKX. And if all you got left is brake lines, you ain't too far away. Go ahead, Shane.
Hi, Phil. I know you've been talking about it for a while and starting to work on it, so I'm happy to hear that. It'd be nice to see it driving around town one day.
I had to spend $3,000 to re-chrome the bumpers. Closest place I could find was Elizabethton, Tennessee, and there are three of them there. I guess they're family members or something. Been around for about 75 years. But I found a cream and put on this thing, and they look better than brand new. I just keep hitting good fortune on the thing, so I'm not going to be re-chroming the bumpers. They look perfect.
Patrick, once he gets this thing actually running on the road, it's the work on it is going to accelerate like you would not believe. Once he gets in it and goes, it's going to be, I got to do this. I can't take it out in public and it looking like that. I got to fix that. This is cool. Wait a minute, let's do that too. It's going to be like a whirlwind.
He's going to send us it. I don't know what the population is, but just so happens that's one of the big car shows on the Eastern Seaboard. They have a car show about 8 months out of the year. And there's one big drag goes down through the city for many miles. And they'll have like a Corvette month, Pontiac month or whatever. But anything is welcome at any month. And I'm going to have to take it up there.
And you doubled it first with somebody. Where's that? Where was that you was talking about?
Somerset, Kentucky.
Mine's a 73 Mach 1 convertible up there.
Shane, the steering wheel on this thing has got some clear plastic. That was just part of an era back then. And not only is mine not cracked and missing, it's there and perfect. And I wouldn't want to tell you on air what I've been offered for the steering wheel, but of course I'm not going to break it up. That would be stupid.
Was this a family car, family-owned vehicle?
It was the go-to-funeral car, so I guess there were 51,000 miles worth of funerals in Spartanburg.
That's a story to tell right there. M4ZLK.
Another cool thing is there's an old book. It's 2.5 inches thick or something. I think it's called the Motor Manual or something. Anyway, it's the original manual for this car, the shop manual. And I found it at that flea market on 101 for $10. So I've got that, and then I've got an original schematic, laminated 24x17, and it's got some cool stuff to go along with it.
You know what you're going to have to do every time you take it out to one of these shows, don't you?
What?
It has been parked inside, and that's why your steering wheel and your dash and some of that good plastic stuff is feel good. So I would strongly suggest that every time you take it out to a show and it's parked out in the sun, take just a little something and lay over that steering wheel. Otherwise, that ultraviolet light will break it down pretty quick.
Roger, I'm going to do what I can to protect it for sure. But, y'all, the tires are still not flat since it's been inside, like Steve's talking about, with no UV. I got at least 1988 air in the tires, but of course, and they're not cracked. They look brand new, and what I'm going to do is probably sell them to a restorer that wants a static display. But since I want to drive the car, I'm hunting today for white walls, but that's going to get in my pocket. Got this. Say 7-3s for now, and I'm at my next stop. Good to hear you, Steve, Phil, Shane, and maybe I'll talk to you all down the road. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3s, guys. See you, Patrick.
Be careful out there, bud. Were those bias? I'm trying to remember, Phil. Were those bias flies on that car?
Radials, but there were a lot of bias back then. I'm not entirely sure. But man, they look brand new. Somebody'll snap them up.
He said that the entire. Now that car originally came with bias flies on it, but and you can find some bias flies now. But man, I tell you what, the bias fly tires that they're putting out. Oh my gosh. You drive those now and you go, I don't know how people kept them on the road.
63, and is it two-door? Four-door. Some pictures, I misunderstood, put 63, and I was seeing mostly two-doors. Awful lot in Spartanburg, or he might have ordered it, I don't know, but it's almost like a fleet car. There's just no extras, no radio, something. There's just several things. It's a very basic thing, but that was my grandfather, and no air conditioning, of course. There's a place in Spartanburg that puts in air conditioning. I don't know if I'm going to go that far or not.
Just tell you, if you put the air conditioning in it, do not put in one of those little hang under the dash things. If you do it, you got to do it right. Put it in the dash now.
I put some in the dash, and it's a totally up-to-date, high-efficiency system, little bitty thing. It's really nice. My uncle at one time had a great big thing under the dash, and it was just too much in your way, and he took it out.
Yeah, that's one of those hang under the dash, kind of like they used to put in the little Mustangs in 65, and they did not work well, they were just a pain. They were cheap, and but what they got now is, what you're looking at is probably vintage, manufactured by Vintage Air, and Vintage Air puts out good quality stuff.
I got some cleaner, I forget the name of it, that had no bleach. It's made for vinyl restoration. Man, I didn't want to mess up, but the seats look brand new, dash looks brand new, it's not cracked up or anything. I just have to blink my eyes when I see, and it still smells new, like it did when I sat in it when I was 15 and too young to drive it.
His wife may have some competition out there with that car, the way he's oogling over it.
Imagine, I'd probably be doing the same thing. That's a treat right there. N4ZLK. Oh, no, you got that wrong. She loves it, because it'll be making me want to go to her hometown so she can see Mama more often. So she loves it.
Can't get it any better than that. Boys, I'm coming into Chesney. Can you still hear me?
And, Steve, she's probably going to be sitting in the middle of the seat there in the front seat leaning right up against them when they're driving around. They're trying to find somebody with a car carrier I can borrow.